Going Linux, Episode 79, Computer America, Number 18.
I'm Larry Bushy, the host of Going Linux.
And I'm your co-host, Tom. Going Linux is an internet audio program, a podcast, for computer users who just want to use Linux to get things done.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows, or just thinking about going Linux, this audio program will provide you with practical, day-to-day advice on how to use your Linux computer. Our goal is to help make the Linux experience easy for you.
Each month, we publish 3 episodes. We begin the month with a listener feedback episode. In our feedback episodes, we read listener email, play listener-generated audio, and answer listener questions.
On the third Tuesday of each month, I appear live on the Computer America radio show. We post those episodes, minus the commercials, as Going Linux episodes.
Our user experience episodes appear near the end of each month. In them, we normally take 2 months to explore a topic related to Linux. During the first month, we introduce the topic for new Linux users and recent converts.
During month 2, we discuss the same topic from a more advanced perspective for computer users building their confidence and competence with Linux.
This is my 18th appearance on the Computer America radio show.
It's America's longest-running national radio talk show on computers, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. Look for Craig's weekly column in your favorite newspaper. This show is being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. Keep it here for technology news, computer products, guest interviews, and your phone calls. You're listening to Computer America.
Hello and welcome into the Computer America show. It's the nation's longest running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. It's Tuesday, the 22nd of September, 2009, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Carrie Holzman.
I had a little mental block there for a moment. I thought it was Wednesday Madness, but I said, no.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, it was. It was a mental mental block. Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I had it right in front of me, too. But there you go. But it's always Tuesday is always a fun day for me because you are back, Carrie. You know, I know you go.
That's
away,
right. Yes, so it's a fun day for everybody.
So
the party can be started now.
Yes.
That I'm here.
Did you have a good weekend? See any good movies?
I took a road trip this weekend.
Road trip.
A road trip to a little city called Wilcox, Arizona.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But anyway, it's up. If you want to check it out, it's there right now. And let's see what else. And we got more giveaways and good stuff. But what we'll do is we'll get our guest on the show right now, and then we'll have him participate as we give these prizes away through the entire two-hour broadcast. All right, so let's bring him on now. His name, is, of course, is Larry Bushy. The Linux operating system, it continues to be more and more popular. And we've always addressed the fact, is Linux right for you? And it's an important operating system. So normally on every third Tuesday of the month, we devote the entire show to Linux. But we had a little schedule change, so we slid everything down. So
well, anytime there's 5 Tuesdays in a month, it screws us up.
Yeah, so he's on tonight, and that's fine because we got the word out. Because if you get the show reminder, you certainly would know about it. And tonight we're devoting the entire show to the subject of Linux in order to answer questions, about it. And, of course, if you have a Linux question, tonight's the night for you to give us a call. Joining us is our Linux expert, Larry Bushy. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. Hey, Larry, welcome into Computer America. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Okay. We're doing fine, too.
Yeah.
So it threw you off a little bit. I know.
It didn't throw me off one way or another. third week, fourth week, whatever. I'm just glad to be here.
Yeah. So, but we're going to be talking about different topics. And usually what we do is we ask Larry to come up with a topic or a subject. We have emails that people write in. But a general kind of theme for each Linux show. And tonight, the topic that Larry has selected is the question, is Linux really more secure than Windows?
Hmm.
Okay, that's going to be kind of the underlying theme for tonight. But, of course, we'll hit any topic with Linux, but we want to kind of get into that. Yeah, it's like an underlying theme to it, our topic for tonight's Linux show, and that we're going to hear from both hours. If you want to get in on the action, you can. It's really simple. Lots of ways to do so. If you have a Linux question, this is the great way to do it. You can call us toll-free at 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-8255. Write that number down. We'll get you on and get you through. You can also send us email if you would like to do that. If you don't want to go on the air but you still will have a question for Larry or myself or Carrie, live, L-I-V-E, at computeramerica.com. That's a special email address that we have set up when we're live and on the air. That's it, live at computeramerica.com. Or you can also join us in our chat room. That's a lot of fun. Larry is, in fact, in there, as am I and my co-host, Carrie. What you do is you go to computeramerica.com, our homepage there. Right on the left-hand side there, it says chat with us. You'll see it. You can't miss it. It's really easy to see. And what you do is you just put in a username. That's a place for you to put in a username. That's a name you'll be known by when you go into the chat room. It's just something you make up. There's a space for a password, but that's optional. You don't need to put that in. Just click the login button, and your Java-enabled browser, be it on Windows machine, Mac, Linux, yes, it works with Linux too, Vista, Windows 7, even Snow Leopard, yep, it all works. So we'll move you into the Computer America chat rooms. And as I said, Larry's in there, myself, Carrie, and a lot of people are in there. It's a great way to participate. So there are three vectors into the Computer America show: the phones, email, and our live interactive chat room. So there you go. So, Larry, let's get the ball rolling, I guess, if you will. And by the way, you're going to help us pick some of these, announce some of these winning names till we have our five winners for the contest.
Okay, I'll reach right through the phone and pick the name out of the hat.
I have a specific job for you. Okay.
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what. After the first break, we'll do one, and I'll tell you what your job is. Okay.
Fair enough.
Because we're very spontaneous here. But let's open the discussion and let's begin with that salient question, and that is Linux really more secure than Windows? Let's start off. Why don't you start off with that?
Sure. The answer is yes. And that's it for tonight, folks. We'll see you next
All right. Wait, but before we go, we got a caller who has a question. let's go to the caller, because we always defer to our callers if we can. And his name is John. He's in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. He has a question about Linux. Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hi, John.
Hi. Nice to talk to you guys. I've been listening on the podcast for several years now.
Ah. Well, and, you come over to the live side now, huh? Okay, good.
Well, I've been trying to get my wife moved over, and her Windows machine finally died. The hard drive did, and we couldn't find the Windows disk to reload it, so I loaded up Ubuntu. Now, the problem I'm having is that there's a Lexmark X 75 all-in-one printer attached to this system, and I can get the Linux distribution to see the printer. I cannot get it to print. And
okay.
I've been to the Lexmark page, and I can find a driver. When I download it, then I can't figure out what to do with it.
Ah, yes. Okay. What was the model of the Lexmark printer again?
It's an X75.
X75, okay.
All-in-one scanner, printer, you know.
Uh-huh. Okay, I am right now going to go to a hardware compatibility list for printers and find out if that printer is indeed one that's supported under Linux. One of the first things that you want to do when you're having problems finding a driver for Linux is to check and see if there's even one available. And, John, did you, by any chance, try to set up the printer using the Linux printer setup, or did you go directly to look for drivers?
I've tried using the printer configuration.
I'll tell you what, John, let's hold off. Just keep John on the phone. We got to take a little break here, and then we'll continue on with him. John, can you stay on the phone during the commercial break?
No problem.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
This is the Computer America Show. It's all Linux tonight. We'll continue on with our callers and the contest and all that great stuff. And Larry, of course, right after this. 24 minutes after the hour here on the Computer America Show. Welcome back to the Computer America program. 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. It's our All Linux show tonight, both hours dedicated to that. Larry Bushy, creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, is with us. And we had to take a break, but we're talking to John in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania, has a question. Larry, you were talking to John. Did you want to continue on, or did you want to reiterate the question?
Well, let me just kind of summarize. John, you've installed Linux onto your wife's computer where you weren't able to find the Windows recovery disks, and you're trying to make a Lexmark X 75 printer work. And you said that you had tried the printer setup utility in Linux. Which version of Linux was it? Sorry, go ahead.
It's Ubuntu.
Okay.
I just did this about a month ago, so whatever distro was available a month ago. Mm-hmm. They list an X73. I tried that, and it didn't work.
Okay.
A bunch of Z printers. Supposedly the Z35 driver will work, but they don't have that one listed. They have 3132.
You know, I have the X73, and in the Windows, the driver, it actually talks to you. It says, printing started. And
I know. It does that.
I know, yeah, exactly. Okay.
Yeah, it makes you jump out of your chair.
It does, right.
It's not very quiet when
No, it's not.
I can find nowhere in this setup wizard where it says, if you have a file, use that file, because I went to the Lexmark site. I downloaded the one for the Z35.
Right.
But I can't find anywhere to put it in.
Okay, the file that you got from the Lexmark site, did it say it was a PPD file?
No, it's a CUPS 2.0.1.
Okay.
Bar.
All right. The PPD that I mentioned, just for those curious, is a PostScript printer description file that many printer manufacturers will provide for users of Linux. And there is a place when you first start the new printer wizard on Linux to select your printer. So you
just buy a PPD file, but. Yeah, I tried that. I tried to put this file in, and it's not compatible. It says there's errors and everything.
Yeah, and that's because it's not a PPD file. The CUPS printer files are generally files that will work, but the first thing to determine is, will your printer work at all? And I went to the, during the break, I went to the openprinting.org website, and from what you've been saying, I have a suspicion you've already been there, searched for Lexmark X75. And the folks at openprinting.org rely on input from users of printers as well as research that they've done themselves to determine whether or not a printer is compatible with Linux. And many printers have the drivers available right within the Linux operating system, much like you would expect with Windows or any other operating system.
Especially if it's been around for a while, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, the issue with Linux is that it is open source. It's not as ubiquitous, not as popular an operating system as Windows, so many printer manufacturers provide only printer drivers for Windows. And if they provide more than printer drivers for Windows, it'll be printer drivers for Windows and Mac. Those that are a little more enlightened and realize there are Unix-based operating systems out there besides Mac will develop or at least open their books, if you will, and share their knowledge about how their printer works so that the Linux community can provide drivers for the printer if the printer manufacturer isn't going to do it themselves. And if your printer is a dud and is completely non-compatible with the Linux operating system, this openprinting.org website will rate it as a paperweight. That is not the case with the Lexmark X75. They say that it works partially with Linux, and according to the website, the thing that doesn't work is the scanning capabilities, at least not yet. So to use it just as a printer, it says on here that you could use the Z35 driver, or the driver rather for the Z35 printer, which the post here says they got from Lexmark's website. So it won't be within Linux itself. It'll be one of those you have to download. And it says that driver worked on the X75. It also says that the X74 is essentially the same printer. And looking through the wizard, unfortunately, there's no driver in Linux, at least in Ubuntu, for the X74 either. The site does recommend a driver from the Lexmark homepage that they call the LXX74, which from its number is probably the X74 driver. And there are some links and instructions there for installing it under using CUPS, using LPD, which is a command line, usually a command line setup. I don't see...
Website for that?
Yeah, if you go to openprinting.org, openprinting.org, then you'll have a little drop-down list there to select your printer manufacturer and the model, and it'll come up with the page that I'm looking at right here with links to the driver and the instructions for installation.
Hey, John, we got to go, but listen, hopefully Larry was able to help you out, and good luck to you on that. You know, call us next time. Let us know how it worked out for you, okay? And don't forget, printing started. This is the Computer America Show. We'll continue on our all Linux program right after this. Larry Bushy, creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. We're doing our all Linux show tonight, and I want you to help us. This is a special night for us, Larry, because we give away. We have our five winners here.
All right,
Logitech and Isla. So what I want you to do, we're going to announce the fifth place winner. We're going to start with the winner number five. That's the fifth place person winner. They're going to get a copy of System Mechanic. Version 9 from Iolo Technologies, and a PureFi Express Plus, which is an iPod player, a speaker system with the clock and everything. It's like a dock, and you can charge it. It's very, very nice.
Nice.
Yeah, it's valued, and we're going to do that. Now, the way you're going to help me is that if you look over to your left there, you'll see that we've installed in your room, you didn't realize that, a really huge timpani. It's this big drum. So I want you to get up, walk over to the timpani, grab the two little mallets that you see there in your hand, and I want you to start hitting the drum. Ready? Start, hit the drum. Wow, you're really good at that.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. And the winner is Pat Watts. Congratulations, Pat Watts. You're our first winner of the evening. And Pat listens to us out in Lexington, Kentucky. All right, congratulations. People enter, they add little comments. Not all the times, but Pat actually added a comment. Pat said, "I am a future winner through the power of positive thinking." It must be something to it, Pat, because you won. So you are a fifth place winner. So congratulations to you, Pat. Now we have four more winners tonight to announce, and so we'll continue on. All right. Now let's get back to and it's interesting because the problem that John came up with the printers, I guess it's not necessarily up to the printer manufacturer to come up with a Linux driver. It's usually the responsibility to have at least a Windows driver and maybe a Mac driver, but not all have the Linux driver. That they rely on open source to take care of that, or you're finding more and more manufacturers are coming up with Linux drivers.
Well, more and more are, and they're beginning to realize that Linux is becoming a more popular operating system, and many of them are beginning to support it. And maybe we can touch on that a little bit after the break.
Absolutely. Plus, the other question, the burning question of the month is, is the Linux operating system really more secure than Windows? We'll get to that, too. Hey, we got 2 hours to take care of all this. It's all Linux tonight. This is the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. We're just going to break for 60 seconds, and we'll continue on. Stay with us.
And we're back with the Computer America Show. We are live on the Business and Lifestyle Talk Radio Networks. It's all about Linux in both hours tonight. Joining us, Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, is here to discuss different subjects mm-hmm. of the Linux operating system. The topic tonight being whether or not Linux is actually more secure than Windows. We had a phone call from a caller having some difficulty getting a printer to work, which took us off on a little sidetrack there.
Which is okay.
And that's good. We don't mind that at all. In fact, yeah. If you have a question about Linux, anything regarding Linux, call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK, 866-606-8255. Always best if you call in the middle of the show rather than, say, towards the end of the show when we don't have time to take your call. So if you're thinking about that question, probably somebody else is too, and one of you should pick up the phone and ask so we can answer it. And
yeah.
Before the break, we're just talking about these issues regarding printer drivers. You know, this is the sort of thing that, to me, you know, this is the big deal about Linux. This is the painful part. Now, would you say that that's more prone to happen to an older printer or just multifunction printers in general, that there's issues getting the drivers to function?
Well, the multifunction printers don't seem to have as much support under Linux as the straightforward printers, and I have a feeling it's because of the complexity.
Of course.
Yeah.
I would agree with you 1,000% there. I mean, when I installed one of the Artisan series, the 800 series from Epson, I mean, that's got it came with a whole bunch of support software that made it work so smoothly. But without that software, Larry, I mean, you know, it would be pretty much, you know, close to a paperweight. You know,
right.
Wireless it's wireless. You have to have the Wi-Fi drivers away. I mean, it goes through a lot of stuff it goes way beyond just printing. So I would concur with you in that the multifunction devices are going to be a lot more difficult to support, I would think.
Yeah, and even under Windows, if you tried to install one of those multifunction printers without the support driver from the printer manufacturer,
yeah.
Typically you can get the printer working.
Right.
But maybe not the scanner and maybe not all the other functions as well. So with those complex devices, you really do need the manufacturer's support, and unfortunately many manufacturers just don't support Linux. And but having said that, many more are doing so. And HP is particularly good at supporting Linux. In fact, they have a package of drivers that they provide on their website that works just about every printer that they've got. That's a standard printer, and even their multifunction printers will work. There are several other manufacturers that are really good about supporting Linux. One of the things that I'd like to see more of, though, is hardware manufacturers in general, printer manufacturers in particular, but hardware manufacturers in general, listing whether or not they are Linux compatible. And there are many, many printer manufacturers, other hardware manufacturers that do support Linux. And if you go on their website, they'll have downloadable Linux drivers, they'll have downloadable Linux software. Sometimes their software is provided with your distribution of Linux, but they don't. Even, you know, they have the little logo that says Windows compatible. They have a little logo that says Mac compatible, but there's no little logo that says Linux compatible. Mm. I see that happening more and more, but not nearly enough.
I think
they don't want the support calls.
They have to have the little penguin logo on the box or something that lets you know. And it could be very possible that a lot of listeners who are maybe not as computer savvy or don't realize, or maybe they just don't realize that the fact that the amount of money a company has to spend in the R&D to develop a driver, especially a device driver for something as complex as a multifunction driver, can spend the same amount, if not more, money on just on the development of that driver. I mean, it's not just a little casual thing. Oh, let's make a driver and we'll do that in a couple of nights and we'll make it.
Right.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's an enormous investment in manpower and time and that's probably the main reason. It's dollars, really, why a company doesn't develop it for yet a different operating system. It costs them a lot to do so.
It does, and developing a printer driver for a multifunction printer has got to be more complex than writing a word processor, for God's sake. You know, it's really a lot of work. It's a very complex device. So, and I know, Craig, even for a Mac, you have to be careful about which printers you purchase because they're not all compatible.
You're right, and sometimes they'll be compatible, but they'll leave out certain functions of the multifunction printer that won't be in the Mac version, that will be in the Windows version. I see
Well,
yes, it does. But at the same time, I mean, I understand where it's coming from and why.
Yeah.
You know, although the Mac is getting a larger and larger share, and I think we're beginning to see a sort of a renaissance coming back to support for that, for the platform.
Yeah, and I think that's partially because of the move away from Windows, because of the bad publicity that Windows Vista originally got, and they're getting some positive publicity with Windows 7, but of course that's not officially released yet. So
October.
You know, exactly. And I think, you know, as people look at alternatives because of the bad press, they're looking at Mac, of course, and they're also looking at Linux. And in the economic climate we have today, Linux wins because it is much less expensive, and it's free, but it's less expensive to maintain as well. And you know, if you've got some older computer hardware and you don't want to buy a new computer, then your best bet is to, if it's giving you trouble, try Linux on it, and if it works, you're home free. You've got a modern operating system, and when I say modern, the version of Linux that I'm running right now is, oh, I guess about 5 months old, and there's a new version of it coming out next month. So they keep it up to date, and not all distributions of Linux keep it up to date every 6 months like Ubuntu does, but you know, it's much more frequently updated and constantly updated as an operating system as compared with Windows, for sure.
Absolutely. All right, so I think that pretty much covers that. Let's see if we can get back on track,
I just want to ask one last question on this, and that is, are there any printer manufacturers who are more Linux friendly, if you're thinking of going to Linux and you're thinking, well, I need a new printer anyway?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Should one be looking at specific manufacturers that are more Linux friendly?
Well, you know, if you have Linux, I would look through the wizard and see what drivers are there. If you're not going to go through that effort, or if you haven't installed Linux yet and you're not sure, then what I would go to is that printer compatibility list on openprinting.org that we mentioned earlier on, and do your homework before you purchase. But if you're not even going to do that, the brand that I would stick with more often than not is HP. HP puts a lot of development money and time of its employees into the development of Linux. Many other big corporations do as well, but as a printer manufacturer, HP is probably the best and the one that I would tend towards. And if you're going to buy based on manufacturer only, I would recommend HP over the others, simply because they seem to have more compatible versions. Now, they do have less compatibility than Windows, and what I mean by that is, as they bring out a new version of their printer, they'll develop the Windows driver first, typically, and so you'll be able to plug it right into Windows with the driver that comes on the disk. But you'll need to go to the HP website, and you may have to wait a little bit of time before they release the driver. Typically not. But some of their, again, multifunction printers tend to have a little bit of lag time on their Linux support.
I just want our listeners to note that Larry actually didn't name the company. He just gave out the initials. So.
Yes, okay. That's true.
Okay, sorry.
I have to say, you know, it's surprising to hear, because if somebody were asking me to buy a printer for their Windows box, I would say anything but HP because of the drivers. It's not that the printers themselves are bad. It's just that these printers... the drivers that HP does are like 500 megs of just junk it throws on the computer.
Well,
whereas if you went with Epson or you went with Canon or another, you know, Lexmark, the printer driver's much smaller, more tight.
And And my flip side, my two cents to that is that if you are getting a laser printer, I would highly recommend the HP because the drivers work really, really nice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you don't get 500 megs of drivers with a laser printer. So
yeah, exactly.
That is an exception.
That is an exception.
Right.
Hey, we're going to break. We'll continue on. It's our All Linux show. We got some more winners to announce as well. We'll get Larry back on the drums for you right after this. This is the Computer America Show and the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, 866-606-TALK, live at ComputerAmerica.com, with the chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry Bushy continues on with us. The entire two-hour show tonight is all about Linux. We're also giving away or announcing our winners for our big contest, which is starting up again now. As a matter of fact, some entries already came over, and you can see them at ComputerAmerica.com. We've reopened the contest. We had our fifth-place winner, and Larry did such a great job on the drums. We're going to ask him to do it again. So, Larry, are you ready to hit the drums?
Okay, let me get positioned here. Okay, behind the back this time.
All right, here we go. You know, behind the back, it sounds just as good as you did it the other way. You're really talented on this. The fourth place winner for the QuickCam Pro 9000 for Windows or the QuickCam Pro Vision for the Mac, your choice is Tammy Kennedy. Hey, Tammy, congratulations. Tammy listens to us in Winter Haven, Florida. Okay. And Tammy also has a little comment. Tammy says, thank you for the time, effort, and energy you use to put these contests together. Well, thank you, Tammy. That was very nice of you. And said Tammy listens to us in Winter Haven, Florida, and you are a fourth place winner. Now, whether when you're contacted by Logitech, they're going to ask you whether you have a Windows machine or a Mac, and they'll give you the corresponding camera for your platform, Tammy, and also a copy of System Mechanic version 9 from Iolo Technologies, the PC tune-up experts, at www.iolo.com. So there you go. All right, so we're moving into the second hour, but I think we all concur just before the break that HP is the printer of choice when it goes to Linux. That's your recommendation. If you have to go to a manufacturer, you're saying, Larry, that HP offers the most
compatible.
Kerry had a counterpoint to that with his Windows comment. However, my counterpoint was that when it comes to the laser printers, I highly recommend the HP
lasers.
Laser
printers are an entirely different story. And I don't know what HP's thinking when they throw a CD or a DVD in with that printer that loads over 500 megabytes of software just so you can print. And that's generally on the inkjet printers, the all-in-one printers. The laser printers, they don't do that. And for that reason.
And I found oftentimes you can go to the HP's website for Windows and download a driver that's meant for the corporate environment that doesn't install all that other crud.
Yeah,
really, I've not seen that before. I'll have to keep an eye open. But, you know, for the average consumer that goes out there, they're not going to be calling a tech to install a printer. They're going to be doing it themselves, and they're going to be using the tools that come in the box with the printer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
And 20 minutes to install a Windows printer driver because of all that extra crud that's on your computer, a little much, I think.
Yeah, and not only that, but at least that you can more or less hit next and walk away uninstalling it. You've got to uninstall this one and wait 5 minutes. Uninstall the next one, wait 5 minutes. And then this wants to reboot. And uninstall.
Yeah.
Oh, and it just goes on and on. Anyway, shop for HP supplies, that's a program. HP survey, that's a program. HP, you know, it's like there's no consideration for
and
any
supply,
other software
yeah,
on your computer.
The supplies program reminds you when your ink cartridge is half full that you should go out and buy a new one.
That's right. That's
right.
And I think they actually say it's half empty when they do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey.
All right, so when we come back, we're going to talk about how is Linux more secure than Windows. We're going to find that out.
Yep. We'll be right back after your local and national news. We got another full hour of the Linux program here on the Computer America Show. We got all those additional winners, too. Three more prizes to announce. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the only national radio talk show on computers to air every weeknight, Computer America, hosted by national columnist Craig Crossman. The first hour's behind us, but there's still more of tech news, tech talk, and your phone calls. We're being beamed nationwide by the Business Talk Radio Network, the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, and on the internet at ComputerAmerica.com. You got computer problems? Bring them on. You're listening to Computer America. Computers run the world, and we run computers. Call us toll-free, 866-606-TALK. That's 866-606-TALK. Or send us an email to live@computeramerica.com.
Hello and welcome into hour two of the nation's longest-running, nationally syndicated radio talk show on computers. This is the Computer America Show, and I'm your host, Craig Crossman.
I'm your co-host, Kerry Holzman.
And we continue on into hour two of the Computer America Show, where both hours are dedicated to Linux. It is we moved it to the fourth Tuesday of the month just this month, and normally on the third Tuesday. Larry Bush, he continues on with us. He is the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast. And Larry, I thought it would be a good idea to open this hour with one of the emails. Oh, by the way, I just want to mention also before we get into this that we still have three more winners to announce on our Computer America contest that was finalized this past Friday. But we already opened the contest again. So it's right there at ComputerAmerica.com. It says the contest. Click on it and get your entries in. We cleaned the slate out and we started all fresh today. So we have an email from Daniel, I believe, that actually addresses the burning question that we kind of opened with, which and that was Linux. Is Linux really more secure than Windows? And I think the email is a perfect intro to that.
Yeah, and in fact, it was Daniel's email that inspired this topic this time around. Daniel writes in. He says he's a Spaniard living in the UK. And he wrote in to Tom, my co-host on the podcast, and I. He says, "Hi, Tom and Larry. I'd love to hear you saying, 'Hello, Daniel.' That would make my day." Now, guys, I have to say that Tom and I have a little tradition. When a listener begins an email by saying hello, we say hello back in unison. So let's make Daniel's day and say, "Hi, Daniel," in unison. So, hi, Craig, Kerry, and Larry. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Daniel.
No, we have to all together.
But that wasn't all in unison.
At the count of three. One, two, three. Hi, Daniel.
There we go. Okay, that's more like it. Daniel writes, he writes in his email, he says, "My name is Daniel, and I'm a Spaniard from Barcelona living in the UK, so please forgive my English if it's not completely clear. Just use your imagination to fill in the gaps. Before you read on, be aware that I am not a Linux zealot, and I hate Linux evangelists." So, having gotten that out of the way now, okay. I've been listening to your podcast nearly from the beginning. For a long time, I have been thinking that I should send you an email about something you say every now and then, something that I think is wrong or misleading at best. Larry mentioned it in the last Computer America Show, episode 75. You keep saying that Linux is more secure than Windows and has no viruses. So far, so good. I completely agree with that. But then, with an apologetic tone, as if we Linux users are a poor, shameful minority that nobody pays attention to us, you normally add that when Linux grows in popularity, we can expect the same fate as Windows, meaning that if there were as many Linux users as there are Windows users, we would get infected by viruses or attacked by hackers just as they do. I don't agree with that. And Daniel provided us a few links to some recent and older published articles clarifying the facts about Linux and malware, and we'll include those links in the show notes. And I have to apologize to Daniel and all of our listeners for my contribution to the confusion on this issue. And Daniel continues on and ends his email saying, "I hope it helps, and I love to hear how you convey this to the Computer America guys, and also how you assure your listeners of their choice of OS. Love, Daniel."
Okay.
So, having read Daniel's email now, I have to say that I have been wrong in saying that even as we increase the popularity of Linux, we might suffer the same fate as Windows in terms of being attacked by by viruses and malware in general. And
well, that's we hear the same thing with Mac. You know, the reason the Mac doesn't have viruses is because, you know, that they're so small. That they had the same popularity, they would be, you know, slammed just as bad. So all the different platforms, we tend to hear that same thing,
Yeah, and the fallacy there is in a couple of areas. First of all, Windows, unlike Mac and unlike Linux, tends to leave much or most of the fight with the vulnerabilities to the anti-spyware and antivirus software publishers. They tend not to fix many of the problems, and they defend against one, when they defend against one virus, those anti-spyware and antivirus manufacturers target that one virus or that one piece of malware, and yet developers of these malware programs can develop another virus or spyware program that exploits exactly the same vulnerability, and because it's not patched in the operating system or not fixed in the operating system, that virus gets through. It's kind of like you can have a photo of a bank robber on the bulletin board at the bank so the tellers can recognize that bank robber as he comes in, but that doesn't change the fact that if his MO in robbing that bank is effective, other bank robbers can come in and use the same tactics to steal all the money in the bank, and they'll be just as effective even though the picture of that bank robber is on the original bank robber is on the bulletin board. The difference with Linux is that when there's a security hole identified that affects the Linux operating system or one of its components, the Linux community and the Linux developers who get paid to do this stuff fix the vulnerability in the operating system. So even if there is another bank robber trying to use the same tactics to rob the bank, it's not going to be successful because that problem has been fixed. That vulnerability
I have fixed. I have a little. Let me ask you this. Uh-huh. You know, Microsoft often fixes many of the problems long before they become problems, and the users simply fail to apply. Or the IT department simply fails to apply
the fixes,
the updates, and couldn't the same be held true for Linux? You know, I think too much credit and credence is given to the operating system to protect you, but, you know, I could get you the safest car in the world. If you want to drive it into a tree, if you don't want to change the oil in the engine, I don't care how reliable Consumer Reports says that car is, if you don't do your part as the end user to maintaining and making wise decisions, it doesn't matter what you're driving. You're going to get hurt or killed, or you're going to hurt somebody. And I think the same is true regardless of your operating system. Whether or not TJ Maxx decided to not upgrade their security on their Wi-Fi has nothing at all to do with their operating system, and yet there go millions of credit card numbers. And whether or not somebody clicks on a link in an email has nothing at all to do with their operating system. Whether or not somebody goes to a website and it says you have to have this application in order to see this video, they're going to do it. It doesn't matter if they're running Windows or Linux. And I think the problem that we inherently have is this disconnect between computer literate users and normal people. All right? And they're generally, you don't run into too many normal people who are computer literate. And it's just my observation. Take it for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. And they don't understand us any more than we understand them. And so when these people write in, like Daniel writes in and he says, well, I don't think it's a problem with the operating system. Well, it's speculation. Mm-hmm. All right? We don't know what's going to happen unless that situation and that scenario becomes reality, to determine how anybody's going to exploit it. But I can assure you that just because an operating system is patched doesn't mean that the end users are going to get those patches. Or is Linux going to perform that differently? Or does it already perform that differently?
Well, I have to agree with you partially, and I have to disagree with you partially. Let me address your last question there. Does Linux handle the updates differently? It does and it doesn't. There are updates for Linux on a regular basis, much as they are for Windows, except they're not relegated to Patch Tuesday. They just come out as they are made available. However, And the updates are made available through notices that come up in the equivalent of the taskbar, you would call it in Windows. And the user can choose to ignore those if they wish, and they are still vulnerable to whatever the problems are, because
just as they would be in Windows.
Exactly. So
no difference.
I agree. No difference at all. I agree with you that the user who wants to remain, or through ignorance does remain, insecure, there's not much hope for them. There's only so much you can do to encourage them. You can't hit the update key for them, unfortunately. However,
but my point was, giving them Linux isn't really going to change their reality of computer usage and the frustrations that come along with it, whether it's having their identity stolen or having their computer rendered inoperable through some software download that they have clicked on or gone to a peer-to-peer torrent type thing to download movies or software. Torrents have legitimate purposes, and all the clients that bring me computers, and I see BitTorrent, and I see Kazaa, and I see LimeWire, there's nothing legitimate about how people are using it, the people that bring their computers to me anyway. Mm-hmm. So let's not kid ourselves. And when people are going to be using this kind of stuff, even on Linux, even on a Mac, the difference will be the likelihood of them getting infected, because it's certainly not impossible to infect a Linux computer.
The question is
whether or not there's the motivation. But I'm sorry I interrupted, but you wanted to disagree with me on a point.
Well, I'd like to disagree with you on the downloads and also the payloads of malware that are delivered by email. And there is a difference between the way Windows handles it and the way Linux handles it. In Windows, if you have an attachment in email, whether it's labeled as funny bunny picture .jpeg .exe, if you have the extensions hidden, which is the default in at least Windows XP, you don't even see the .exe when you get the file onto your computer and you think it's a picture, it will run because it has that .exe extension. And in fact, from the email, you can say open or execute, and it will open and it will run that program. And if it's a virus, it will install the virus. Now, under Linux, if you download
this,
from a website,
this is presuming you have no security software installed.
Exactly. Yes, that's true. And the security software, you have to go out and purchase a license for it. There is free software.
There's
stuff
free
out
ones.
There. Yeah, and the free ones do a reasonable job of it. And I'll describe after the break what the difference is in the way things are handled with Linux.
But first, we're going to get you up against those drums again, and we're going to announce
we'll do over the left shoulder this time.
Exactly.
He's got hidden talents.
Yeah, he does, right. Winner number three coming up here on the Computer America Show for that DeNovo keyboard and a copy of System Mechanic from Iolo Technologies. We'll be right back. And you're listening to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network, 866-606-TALK, the toll-free number, live at ComputerAmerica.com or our chat room at ComputerAmerica.com. Larry Bushy, the creator and host of the Going Linux podcast, continues on with us. And now Larry's going to play the drums for us, but over his back.
Over his left shoulder.
Over your left shoulder. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, step up to the timpani. You ready, Larry? Here he goes. It sounds just as good. So talented.
Very consistent.
Yes. The third place winner of the DeNovo keyboard from Logitech and a copy of System Mechanic version 9 from Iolo Technologies goes to Tim Carfrey. Tim Carfrey, congratulations. Tim listens to us in Trooper PA. Trooper PA, all right. And Tim, congratulations. You are our third place winner of the Computer America giveaway. So congratulations to you. So, Larry, are we going back to go to our next email? Did we finish up with
No, we haven't. No. I just want to take a moment.
Yes, take a moment.
And say that this is often where we run into problems when we bring on a guest to talk about Linux.
Yes.
And they make a statement so bold, or an email comes in that makes a statement so bold as that one was, that you know, I have to stand up and I have to say something. You know, the security doesn't start and end with the operating system. And Well, there's no argument. Linux is certainly more secure. I mean, there's no debate about that. It's not foolproof. And for anybody to suggest that that if everybody were using, if Windows was wiped out tomorrow, and every Windows user out there today was switched over to Linux tomorrow, that you wouldn't have armies and armies of people around the world hammering at it, trying to find exploits and vulnerabilities in it. I mean, listen, the bank around the corner from my house has some of the most modern, futuristic security equipment you'll ever see, and yet it was roped off the other day because they got robbed. There's just no such thing as a secure operating system. You can quote me on that.
Yeah, and you're right. There are viruses for Linux, none out in the wild. And there are viruses for Mac, none out in the wild, not since OS 9. And there are viruses for Windows, and they are out in the wild. And that's the difference. So by last count that I've read, about 60,000 of them. But
Wait, 60,000 for Linux?
Active. 60,000. For Windows that are active out in the wild and in use right now. So maybe I'm being generous to Windows here. I don't know.
You're being awfully generous. My understanding is 60,000 a day.
A day. Okay.
Yeah.
I was reading it wrong.
Yeah. 60,000 new threats every day, whether they're, you know, modified previous threats, but modified enough to justify a new name. But again, so much of this relies on the end user, the person running the operating system. Now, with Linux, let's say you get that email that comes in, because this is where we got interrupted, and that email has a picture that's not really a picture, it's an executable. How does Linux handle that?
Okay, first of all, the user never sees a dialog box that says, run this file. They'll have the option to save it to their hard drive. They will have an option to open it if it is a file, like an application that has a an associated program. So if it's a .doc file or a file that's a word processor file from OpenOffice, it will open with that particular application. And if it's a .doc file and it happens to have one of those old macro viruses, they don't run in the word processor or the Office programs from Linux, so you're safe there, even opening the program. But let's say that someone has sent you a file that has a .exe extension and you don't notice it, or better still, since .exe programs don't run in Linux, let's say they've written a Linux virus and it's a shell script and it ends in .sh. That is a program. That would be the equivalent of a batch file in Windows. So that could run if you could open it and run it. But what happens when you detach it from your email and save it to your desktop or wherever you want to put it on your hard drive? It won't run. And the reason it won't run is it doesn't have permission to run. So the Linux user has to go through a lot of steps. We'll talk about what those steps are after the break, but they have to go through a lot of steps to make it so that
it doesn't sound too user-friendly to me, especially if something's legitimate. You're just trying to get it through. We'll bring that up. We'll talk about
that
when we come back.
That.
And your feedback is always welcome. Toll-free 866-606-TALK if you'd like to join in with your opinion on this topic. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. More Computer America's coming right up. And we're back with the Computer America Show. It's our All Linux Show, as we do on the third Tuesday of the month each and every month, except for this month where it's on the fourth Tuesday because there are five Tuesdays this month. So, as always, it's the second from the last Tuesday of the month.
No.
That's what we have to just...
No, don't get confused. No, it's just normally the third Tuesday of the month.
That's not a leap year.
No, it's just, except for leap years. No, it's just the third Tuesday of every month. Come
on. Gosh, I feel like I'm doing my taxes now. So, before the break, we're talking about how Linux is a more secure operating system, but don't let that fool you or give you a false sense of security that you can just do whatever you want and nothing is going to happen. And a lot of people are going to be like, well, duh. But at the same time, my point that I'm trying to make is if you know the difference, then you can run Windows without any problems, as I do and as millions of people do. Well, maybe not millions, but many of us run Windows and don't have problems with spyware and don't have problems with viruses because we know not to click on these links. We know not to go to these file sharing sites. We know not to do the things that cause the infections. And it's not too far from knowing that to similarly knowing what not to click on that would infect you in Linux or get your identity stolen from Linux.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, the difference between us and, quote, normal people. And
yes. Well, I think that's important.
Normal people that have the problem, quite frankly.
Yes.
And so that's why we have antivirus companies out there. And they will help with Windows, no doubt. They will help. And if you have a user who opens emails from strangers, there are viruses or malware at the very least that can run just from opening an HTML-based email in an email client that runs HTML without ever having to open or click or anything like that. And, you know, if a Linux user wants to get a virus, though, they have to work at it. And here's why. A couple of things. First of all, in order to run a program that's attached to an email a file or to an email message, you need to save the file. Then you need to right-click on the file and give it permission to run as an executable, and then you have to run it. There are several steps you have to go through, and the, quote, normal people will probably wonder why they can't just open these things and run them, and that's the point. That's the point right there, is that it's designed to be more secure in that way, and that's not good. That's not foolproof. Fail-safe. However, there's also the fact that in Linux, the vast majority of applications will run as a regular user rather than as root, as an administrator, for example. And in Windows, many of the programs run as administrator. And that's being addressed by Microsoft in as they update Windows, and I understand it's better than it has ever been in Windows 7, but the fact is that because of the way Windows is written, many application program writers are writing their programs so that they run as administrators so that they can do things like print, for example.
Sure.
And under Linux, the operating system is designed so that programs will run as non-administrator with non-administrator privileges. So if you do accidentally or on purpose run some sort of malware, generally speaking, the malware will be able to run, but it's not running it as administrator, so the damage it can do is limited to just that particular user's account, and you can create a new user account if you need to.
Hey, we're going
to
break.
We'll talk about that some more, because that, to me, takes away the user-friendliness, because there's a lot of things you can download and run on Windows that are useful and helpful that people wouldn't be able to do on Linux because if this process was so complicated and complex.
Sure.
All right, well, we'll bring that back in just 60 seconds. More Computer America, all Linux, coming right back in 1 minute.
Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. Heard coast to coast and around the world over the internet, stream live.
Very nice. Close.
Close. I know.
Need to slow it down. A little pause, a little emphasis.
I see. All right. Well, how about a little pause and emphasis on our second place winner, okay, that we're going to do right now. This is for the G19 keyboard valued at $200. Larry, you ready for the drums?
Okay, I'm going to do this one-handed while typing in the chat room.
All right.
Now you're just showing off.
It still sounds the same. It's amazing. Look at that. And the winner goes to Nancy Hendren. Nancy Hendren, congratulations. Nancy listens to the Computer America show in Martin, Tennessee. Martin, Tennessee. And Nancy gets that G19 keyboard valued at $199.99, $200. So congratulations to you, Nancy. You are our second place winner tonight. So, Carrie.
Yeah, so before the break, talking about if things are more difficult to run in Linux, and this sort of brings me back to my initial issue that I personally have with Linux, is the ease of use factor seems it's more difficult to use. Now, obviously, look, you can't have everything. You've got an operating system that's going to be easier to use. It's going to be easier for things to run that shouldn't run, and you want something more difficult to use. It's going to be more secure, but it requires a bit more, I don't know if it's fair to say, time and education to figure it out, or just more effort to get something to run that ordinarily in Windows, when I say ordinarily, to me it's ordinary because that's what I'm used to using. Mm-hmm. You would just click the executable file and the thing would run, because for as many of these viruses and spyware things that we hear about taking advantage of Windows, much like the planes that crash, you don't hear about the ones that landed safely, the millions and millions of which that do so every day safely. You don't hear about the applications that run well and don't have any problems because they're just so easy to download, install, and run. And I think that's why Windows is so successful. It's not about the security. It's because it's just so darn easy to use. Now, if Linux would be just so darn easy to use, or for that matter, I would say Mac. I understand Macs are a lot easier to use than even Windows, but they have this price issue. So if Mac could lower their price, or Linux could make themselves much, much easier to use, I think what would happen is more people would switch over. But at the same time, I think that by making it easier to use, they'll be making it less secure.
Yeah, and that goes for any operating system. You've got that trade-off between ease of use and security, and that's what we're dealing with here. And you made the comment that things are harder to run in Linux. Well, yes and no. If you've got a program that you have downloaded, or an application or a script or whatever it is, something that will run, it's not going to run without you giving it permission to run. And that's, in my mind, not a bad trade-off. And it's not difficult to do, but you, by putting that little extra step there, you're putting a barrier in front of the user that makes them hopefully think, is this the right thing to do? As opposed to, got my file downloaded. Okay, let's run it.
The reality is that when people, when they get these emails or they get these links that say, you know, if you want this thing over here, you need to do this other thing first, they'll do it.
Yes, and I was reading an article that, and I don't have the link for it, but I just remembering it from you know, having read it earlier this month. There is apparently a woman who would, and no aspersions towards women. It happened to be a woman in this article, but if you told her that you were going to send her a picture of a happy puppy, and she needed to disable her antivirus software and then run the picture, you know, open the picture of the puppy, she would do it every time.
Yes.
So, okay, there are people like that, and then there are people who
We call those normal people.
Yeah,
Carrie,
those are the normal people, yeah.
Carrie, Laura in the chat room calls you a party pooper. and actually, Fort in the chat room says he finds Linux very easy to use. You see, I've rarely had to install drivers and mess with things like I do with Windows.
Well, and that's the easy part of running things in Linux, is the fact that if you want to get software for your Linux computer, typically you don't have to go to a website to get it. You go to the repository, which is a library of software that's provided for free by your Linux distribution, with software that is designed for Linux, and for the most part it is free. And freedom aside, it is optimized to run on your version of Linux that you are running, and you can, at that point, because it's a controlled environment, you can go and download that with a special downloader tool called the now I've forgotten the name of it, the downloader that allows you to access the repositories to get those software, and then immediately run it from there. You don't have to give it permission. You have given it permission because in order to run that downloader, you have to put in your password in order to do that. So if someone were nefarious enough to try to hack into that particular website to try to put a bad malware program there, that software goes through a review process, and it just doesn't appear there because someone writes it. So,
well, the threat wouldn't be that the software would be manipulated. The threat would be that if they could redirect you, they would redirect your bank. They would redirect your, you know, the things to steal your identity, sure, which they do anyway with DNS poisoning and et cetera, et cetera.
I have won more money from the Netherlands lottery, from the UK lottery.
Yeah. I bet you didn't even know you entered those lotteries, did you?
I did not. And boy, if I had just sent them thousands of dollars to cash in,
think how much richer you'd be today.
I would be great, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's actually, there's a big news article that the Nigerian's government is really upset about the way they're portrayed in the movie District 9.
Uh-huh.
And
really?
As if it's unjustified. You know, because all those scams are coming out of Nigeria. A lot of, you know, the send me your I've got this money, I need to move it to the U.S., send me some money and to pay for the processing of it. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's not right. The writers just pulled Nigeria out of the top of their head. They just threw a dart at the wall. It just cracks me up that the government says this isn't fair. Well, when the government starts cracking down on that crime, then maybe we can take them a little more seriously. But you know, that still is going to affect a Linux user as much as it affects a Windows user. And so, yeah, I'm a party pooper because, yeah, okay, because I call it like I see it. We're here to let people know that there's alternative operating systems out there.
Yes.
And none of them are a magic bullet. Some people will go to Linux because they simply don't want to pay money to Microsoft. Some people will go to Linux because they don't want to pay money to anybody. Some people go to Linux because they don't want to be like everybody else. They don't want to be a sheep. They want to run their own thing their own way.
That would be
sheeple. Some people are technically curious. Some people just say, you know, I see Windows. I play with the Mac. I want to know this, too. I want to know it all. I want to experience all of it. Whatever your motivation is, for some businesses, it makes good sense to go to, like, a Linux server, much less expensive.
Hey, we got a caller. Let's take him real quick. We can squeeze him in, okay? John listened to us on KCEO radio station in San Diego, Computer America, Craig Crossman. Hey, John.
Hi. Listen, I had been running Ubuntu a few months ago, and I had clicked on a JPEG file for download, and Ubuntu warned me that JPEG files can contain viruses. Now, that's kind of odd to me, but so I didn't download it. But first of all, that Ubuntu would be sensitive to that because it's so not exactly immune, but less vulnerable, it seems, to viruses in general. And then secondly, when I looked up viruses in JPEG files, I believe it was in Wikipedia, it turned out that it's only if you have a certain program that's also infected that you could unleash a virus.
Yeah, now I'm no expert on viruses or vulnerabilities, but one of the reasons why Ubuntu and other flavors of Linux are sensitive to Windows viruses is because they come in email and people forward email to Windows users.
Yeah, this is from a website, not from an email.
Yeah.
All right, John, listen, we got to move on. We'll wrap it up. But listen, thanks so much for listening
to
us. All right, calling us from our affiliate KCEO, AM1000 in San Diego. This is the Computer America Show. We'll have our grand prize winner called off as well as we continue on our All Linux Show tonight. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Computer America Show on the Business Talk Radio Network and the Lifestyle Talk Radio Network. Let's go for that grand prize winner. All right. That person is going to win a Harmony One, a remote control from Logitech valued at $250, and a copy of System Mechanic version 9 from Iolo Technologies, the PC tune-up experts. Are we ready, Larry? How are we going to do the drums?
Okay. This time, just a second. One drumstick between the teeth.
Okay, here we go. And it still sounds just as good. a grand prize winner for the Harmony One and the Iolo Technologies System Mechanic is Lori Higginbotham. Lori Higginbotham, congratulations. You're a grand prize winner. Listens to us in Fort Wayne, Indiana. All right. So congratulations to all five of our winners. Lori, let's one more quick review. Pat Watts, the fifth place winner. Tammy Kennedy, a fourth place winner. Tim Carfrey, our third place winner. Nancy Hendren, second place winner. And Lori Higginbotham, our grand prize winner. Congratulations to all of you for participating in the Computer America giveaway. And we started a new one tonight. So there you go. Larry, where are we now? Get sidetracked with the contest.
Yeah, well, I think I chipped a tooth on that one.
So tell us about what's going on at the next the Going Linux podcast. What's coming up next?
We have every month we do one of our three episodes as a listener feedback episode, and that will be the next one after this, and following that, I'm not sure. It'll be a user experience episode of some sort.
Okay.
And yeah, just for those listeners who haven't listened to the Going Linux podcast, other than listening to us here on the Computer America radio show once a month, you can find us on iTunes. Look for Going Linux there. You can find us on Podcast Alley. Just search in the text section for Going Linux. Our website is goinglinux.com. And on Twitter and Identica, guess what? Going Linux.
All right.
There's a pattern there.
There is a pattern, yes, exactly. Yeah. All right, well, listen, Larry, even though it wasn't leap year, it was really enjoyable having you on here, and, of course, we look forward to having you on next month in October, back to the third Tuesday of the month, and right. We look forward to that. And emails, we didn't get to everything, but certainly we'll get to that. And, again, that's the Going Linux podcast. We have a link to it at Computer America on our links page at computeramerica.com. Larry, thanks for being here with us tonight.
I had fun. Thanks.
And you're a great drummer. What can I tell you? Okay. Even though he must march to a different drummer. How's all the drum puns is going to come in. Okay. Well, that's it. You're with Linux. You go to a different drummer, right? There it is. That's it. Tomorrow night is going to be Wednesday Madness. That's right. It's going to be your show. It's always your show, but Wednesday Madness. Open phone lines, your emails, voicemails, surprise guests maybe stopping in, you name it. And don't forget the Computer America contest is reopened now. It's active, and we're giving away all those great prizes yet again at ComputerAmerica.com. So thanks to all of you who participate. Congratulations to all the winners that we had tonight. And again, everything resumes once more. Oh, of course, we have all those other wonderful giveaways that we continue to have at ComputerAmerica.com on our homepage. Just check them all out at ComputerAmerica.com. So that about wraps it up. So until tomorrow night, this is Craig Crossman hoping that your hard disk never becomes floppy. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Good night, everyone.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
Music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.